everyone, and thank you for attending our webinar series on COVID-19 vaccination in Southeast Asia. Today, we will discuss vaccination and employment law in Thailand. So for those who don't know me, my name is Marion Carl, and I am a senior legal advisor and head of DFDL's Employment Practice Group. And I will have the pleasure to host our webinar on COVID-19 in Thailand today. So DFDL is a law firm based in Southeast Asia, and we specialize in emerging markets. We are present in 9 countries. We employ over 150 advisors and more than 300 staff. We have a team dedicated to labor and employment across our various offices to ensure that our clients receive constant, seamless, and appropriate legal assistance when employment-related issues arise. Joining us today on the program is Kreisorn, who is a partner in our Thai office. Welcome to the program, Kreisorn. How are you doing today?
Hi. Yes, I'm fine, and thank you for having me for this today webinar. So it would be a quite interesting topic here we have today, given the current situation that is quite developing in quite challenging ways right now. Yeah.
Yeah, and actually, before we we move to the discussion, I think it will be interesting for the audience if you could provide a little bit of update and background of the situation in Thailand right now, and also in terms of the vaccination campaign. I don't know if the vaccination campaign started in Thailand or not.
Yeah, just for a little update for those who probably call out from outside of the country. We basically in the third wave of pandemic right now. So because of the new cluster, and it has made Bangkok having around 2,000 cases infections on a daily basis so far. Today there's a significant development because the rate of daily infection has reached to 5,000, but it does not change the situation right now, because the numbers the authority files today, almost half of that were from prison in Bangkok, as well as prison in other provinces in Thailand. So the metrics are still the same, but the situation and I think right now the measures recommended by the government is already high and intense, and any increase of measures could further affect a number of business operators that that rely on people traveling around in the city. So basically, the government encourage any company, any workplace to work from home and to be in the buildings at least as possible. Some buildings and some operators require or impose the employee to seek for clear approval before entering into the workplace premise. And the restaurant cannot serve any food inside the restaurant areas, so only takes out available in Bangkok, and all the big gatherings are basically banned right now in Bangkok and in all the resorts designated by the authority. In terms of vaccination program, right now, since there's a lot of pressures from hospitality business operators and many, I think this is positive right now from the government, that the government tried to achieve 50 million vaccination, 50 million dose of people vaccinated target within this year. So far in the the first quarter of this year, in February, the government started rolled out vaccination targeting the frontline workers, nurses and doctors, as well as the elders. There's a lot of debate around the available vaccines, about the efficiency of those vaccines made available at the early phase. Because of that, right now the government ensure that there will be more options available. In Thailand, the key main vaccine available will be Sinovac and AstraZeneca, but government already approved more. I understand that is Johnson & Johnson that already approved, and Pfizer and Moderna are under the consideration, as well as Sputnik 5 V or Sputnik 5 from Russia. And a government authorities start to provide update plan on the vaccine rollout, that the major chunk of AstraZeneca and will start to roll out within June, and that will be the main vaccines for Q2 and Q3 and Q4, and it is possible right now, and there's a lot of expectation that there will be a private vaccination available, made available for any person that want to have vaccination with private hospital, and that should be available as well in Q3 and Q4. So combination of these two, that's the grand scheme of things by the Thai government to achieve around 50 million people for vaccination. So that, and I think the key update from the government with respect to our topic today is that the government clearly expressed their intention that they will vaccinate people, both Thais and foreigners who work in Thailand. And all of this vaccination program will be on a consent basis. So there will be no mandatory, no legislation to force people to vaccinate. Given a lot of political debates around efficiency, side effects of all vaccines, because at the end of the day, vaccine of this kind is that there might be some unclear information on long-term effect of this vaccine. So consent will be the key for the vaccination program. That would be the overall outcome of the vaccination program right now.
Thank you, Prayson, for this very precise and detailed summary. And yeah, it's interesting to see that, you know, in comparison to maybe other jurisdictions, I'm thinking about Cambodia, for instance, was, you know, rapidly rolled up its vaccination campaign. So Thailand seems to be a little bit behind. But at the same time, it is also facing, you know, the shortage of vaccine, like, you know, every country in the world, you know, do so. So yeah, but yeah, indeed, I agree that it is very encouraging and hopeful.
Yeah. And if I want to add a little bit more, so even we are behind, but I'm quite optimistic of the vaccination program. Yesterday, government announced as well that the vaccination points will be quite widespread in the city, in the city and in the red zones. They are working with a number of business operators to allow as much as possible vaccination points. And they use the under the concept of walk-in vaccination. So I think this would help a lot in terms of vaccination rate in Bangkok.
Okay, that's great to hear. So maybe now we can move to the to our conversation and maybe focus a little bit more on the potential impact of COVID-19 vaccination on employment law. And my first question, and this is a question that we get a lot from our clients, although it might be a little bit ahead of time since, you know, vaccination campaign started, but it's not really broad in Thailand, but can an employer require its employees to be vaccinated? And I appreciate that you already responded a little bit.
Yes, so since overall campaign in and the policy of the government, it will be a consent based. So basically, you should not require the employee to be vaccinated. What we see in Bangkok right now, even now, is that a number of big companies start to have invitation and campaigns for their employees to list up and register for vaccination. And the government and the employers basically are working with the government to ensure that their employee who consent will get vaccinated as soon as possible.
Yeah. Thank you. And second question, which is again, I think a little bit ahead of time, but it is interesting, I think, to have your input on this. Do you think that in the future, employer may refuse to hire applicants that have not been vaccinated or who does not want to be vaccinated? Do you see this happening?
I think the legal terrain has not yet allowed the employers to clearly set out this as a requirement, but rather the law and right now allow and you can do it right away is to put it as a let's say instruction that once you employed by the operators, there should be you should offer the employees the ability to vaccine either sponsored by the government or sponsored by the company itself.
Thank you very much. And I mean, vaccination actually triggers many issues. So from an employment perspective, we already talked about this, but also from a data protection perspective, because, and especially if the employer wants to have access to the vaccination information, how, you know, this information will be treated. So my question will be first, is there any, you know, data protection law in Thailand? And I, of course, know already the answer, but I think it's relevant for this discussion.
I think the big update to everyone would be the basically legislation postponing the effectiveness of the CBA just came out earlier this week. Mm. So the employers can be at ease a little bit more or for a year. Because the obligation with respect to the PDPA will not yet be effective until June next year. But based on the law, yes, the information whether the employee have been vaccinated should be considered as a health information and is considered as sensitive data under the law. So express when you want to collect, process, transfer of this information, you require express consent from employees, which is distinct. Basically, the consent should be separate, should be clear, easily readable. What you will use, what kind of information you collect, what is the purpose of collection, and whether you will transfer this information to other entities in your group, either in Thailand or in overseas. Mm. And when it comes to sensitive data, the rule of thumb for us right now for PDPA implication is that you should use this information as short as possible to serve the purpose that you clearly specify to the employee, basically is to manage the risk with respect to COVID-19. So once you complete this cycle of information, you should delete it, basically. You should not keep it, because keeping any sensitive data entails a lot of obligation on the employees.
Mm. And I mean, this is the discussions that we had together, but do you think these specific data that I understand will be treated as a sensitive data, do you think that, you know, employers can rely maybe on an exemption to not, you know, request the consent, or Thus, the consent is an absolute necessity in this case.
So legal basis here, so of course, it's always a recommendation to see to rely on exemptions whenever it possible, because receiving consent, even you receive it, it entails a number of obligations. You may need to keep update the information, seeking for a constant seeking for consent for any adjustment of your policy if those information obtained by you is was obtained on a consent basis. So, but in our case, since it's health information, is not directly related to the reciprocal contract performance in this case, and since the client the government will not mandatorily require this sort of information from us unless there is a symptoms. So once there is a symptoms of COVID-19, then under the law you have an obligation to notify. In those cases, you don't need a consent. But the fact of vaccination, I think this is still problematic to rely on a legal basis under the PDPA right now, given the current situation. But of course, it could develop in the future.
Interesting. No, but yeah, and I agree with the safe approach.
Yep.
I think it's better to proceed this way. So maybe a last question, and this one is also very interesting because, well, from an employer, you have, you know, the obligation to ensure health and a workplace that is safe for, you know, your employees. And at the same time, you know, employees, as you said, you know, have the freedom to take or not take the vaccine. So how, as an employer, you combine this and can you, as an employer, require employees who cannot or will not agree to vaccination to coming from coming to the workplace?
Yes, right now it's possible. Right now, under the current law, the employer has the power to demand the employee who are at risk of infection stay away from workplace. However, you need to keep paying the basic salary of the employees. So the issue is, it will not be a big issue for sectors like a service sector or for administrative staff that can work from home.
Yes.
But in terms of factory, that would be a little bit problematic because the law and the Department of Labor and Welfare issue the policy quite clearly that you need to keep paying the employee, because this is not the failure on the employee's part in terms of any legal obligation that the employees have. It just simply so basically the government view that this is the pandemic and it's not anybody's fault that they have a risk, or and given that the vaccines still have some issue in terms of side effects and so on, so it should not, the employee should not be the one who be blamed because of his foreignness. His or her foreignness about the vaccines and stay away from vaccination. But of course, the employer have the right to instruct and demand the employee not to be at the premise, the consequence of which will be that the employer need to keep paying the basic salary. And the government could speak quite clearly that any termination based on the ground of COVID-19 symptoms, infection, or vaccination could be considered as a termination without cause. So basically, surrender pay will apply. This is the policy of the LPW right now. But again, maybe this has not yet been ruled by the High Court, which is the ultimate body of legal. But yeah, since the LPW has the direct power to issue the ruling around whether to make payment observance pay, so it might be better for the employer to ensure that they comply with this policy.
Thank you. And maybe a last question to rebound on actually these questions that we just discussed. Do you think that the employer should secure the employee's consent for, you know, asking the employee to not come to the workplace, or it's not necessary in your view?
In this front, it's different from PDPA. This is the Labor Protection Act requirement. So it's always easier with no consequence to get consent from employees. And in terms of, in case that the employee need to be quarantined or need to be under hospitalization, you can utilize, the employer can utilize the sick leave, which is 30 days per year for the employees, as well as annual leave. We need to also mention that by default, the law allows the employer to determine unilaterally the annual leave of the employees. So the employer can do that, force the employees to stay away from the office for some time for the purpose of quarantine or for the purpose of hospitalization.
Thank you. Thank you, Grayson. And actually, that concludes our webinar for today. So thank you, all the participants for attending our webinar. If you have any question, please feel free to contact me or Grayson. Again, you can easily find our information on our website. Thank you so much, Grayson. Thank you again for your participation, and I'll see you next time.
Thank you very much.